to the True Wealth Financial Show, a show dedicated to providing you the information and inspiration to navigate financial decisions, intentionally build wealth, and retire with confidence. And now, here's your host, Mike Potter.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the True Wealth Show. As always, I'm glad you've taken the time to tune in. Great job on continuing to invest in your financial future. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." John Wesley said, "Gain all you can, save all you can, give all you can." Today, we're going to continue our conversation about becoming a millionaire and sharing our personal story. But this is part two, which means there's a part one. And if you haven't listened to part one, I'd encourage you to go back to last week's, watch part one, it'll make a little more sense, and then come back and watch this one. But just for a small recap, in March of 2024, by the grace of God, Erica and I passed the seven-digit net worth figure and became millionaires. And that's what a millionaire is. A millionaire is not someone who makes $1 million, although they could be a millionaire, but doesn't necessarily mean you're a millionaire. But having $1 million, that's what a millionaire is. A millionaire is a person who has $1 million. So our net worth, our assets minus our liabilities, passed the seven-digit mark back in March. Thanks again to my wife, whom I affectionately refer to as Mrs. Beautiful, but her name is Erica, for being willing to join me and share our story. And again, we're doing this all with the idea of trying to help you, provide you with information, inspiration, and hope so that you too can successfully navigate financial decisions, intentionally build wealth, and retire with confidence. And so now let's pick up where we left off last week.
Not big spenders on Gene.
No. But one thing that one half of us is a big spender on is vehicles. So how many new cars have we, meaning you, bought?
Yeah, so.
Total transparency there.
Cars are a bite of a lot of people, for sure. And they were of us for a long time. When we went broke in 2007, we had, a work truck essentially that was used, and we had two brand new vehicles in our driveway. We had a Suburban, a three-row Suburban, very expensive, and a brand new Toyota Sienna that we just bought before we kind of went broke. Before 30, we owned 30 different cars, if you can believe that. But since then, so we learned our lesson, really, for the most part, and we all bought one brand new car that was in 2014. So we moved to Nebraska in 2013. We took with us four beaters, and we had four different cars at the time, just based upon kind of life circumstances, what we're doing and commuting and living in the country and various things like that. So we were able to kind of get rid of those, and we bought one kind of newer car at that point, and that was a Toyota Sienna. That we had the money to pay cash for him, but I let the guy, this is one of these like silly things. I let the guy talk me into zero financing.
And upgrade, spraying the underbody.
Couple upgrades.
For salt.
Yeah.
Protect for salt, and we needed.
Which is important in the Midwest.
Okay. And we needed premium war mats.
Which is also important in the Midwest. We need 4 kids. But yeah, so we bought one brand new car then, but we drove the snot out of that car.
Yeah, 270,000 miles. Yeah. That thing went across the U.S. up to Canada and back.
Yeah, and then sold it for almost like $5,000 towards the end.
Vehicles.
So we like that. So that was the only new car that we bought during this time. I think we're a lot better now with cars. We don't really buy used cars for the most part. A
couple years old.
And we keep them for a long time now. We're not. The disease, I think, is cured. Yeah, the caritis disease is finally cured. Because I recognize, basically what it does to your net worth and your wealth building. So it's just, it's just transportation. It's not status and not cool factor at all. So, but a lot of people do struggle with cars. So that's why we're kind of sharing that there. So here's a good question. What were the things that we did? How did we get here? How did we build a net worth of $1 million?
So we started out budgeting. So we budgeted every month, and then almost every week we'd revisit our budget. The biggest thing for me when we started our getting out of debt journey was that he did a spreadsheet to show me how much we were sending out in payments to everybody. And then if we had invested that, what it would look like. And it was absolutely insane. And so then I was like, I'm going to stop paying everybody else's mortgage. And so we did that. We worked a lot and both got, even when I had the stay-at-home mom, had part-time job babysitting, or I was in the reserves, or I worked at Target at night. And then you would clean offices in the afternoon after you worked, deliver newspapers in the morning. And you go to thrift stores for the kids' clothes. Our kids are used to shopping at thrift stores now. So they're very frugal with their clothing for the most part.
I think hard work definitely was a thing that played a part in it. Because even like when you did your cyber studies, you still had the Navy Reserve, so you still had a part-time job. You know, I had business stuff here, so we've always had multiple jobs. So hard work definitely is a one big thing into it, for sure.
What do you think, Will?
So budgeting is obviously important. We still do that. Yeah. You know, there's times where we're more strict than others, for sure. But for the most part, it's been a constant theme, really, for all these years overall. I think we had a lot of ups and downs. We'll kind of get into that a little bit here later. But I think we're resilient, resolving, when life happened and life occurred, stuff like that.
Yep, like losing a job and going full-time. So I was up on eBay. Thanks to Amy and Tim for training us on to do that. You guys helped us survive. Yeah.
You know, that was, so that was a kind of tough year for sure. I think one thing too is having good insurance along the way, right? Yeah. So like you had your surgery, you know, 2013, Savannah had a couple surgeries here and there. So those would have been pretty expensive blows if we weren't properly insured. So always making sure we had health insurance.
Yeah.
The time a kid drove a car into the garage, make sure we had good auto and homeowner's insurance, right? That would have been a pretty lofty.
It's because they give him a paper. Learner's permit does not mean that they can drive a vehicle and stop
in
the driveway.
So being properly insured definitely has paid out throughout the years.
Yeah.
Obviously, we made a good income.
Yeah, that did help. Yeah.
That helped along the way, for sure.
Just finding opportunities and then following through with them.
Yeah. And I think it was just, you know, just kind of paying attention, just being engaged, making money, kind of a priority for sure in the beginning. And then, but just a part of our everyday life. Now, I mean, we talk about money frequently, I would say, but it's not the dominating aspect of our lives by any stretch, but it's
not anymore,
but it's definitely a thing that we have talked about. I think, and just the idea of having a plan, that was the most beneficial thing. If we know what to do, step one, step two, step three. And just kind of continued on.
Yeah. Instead of fighting against each other, like coming up with a plan, but then he has one plan and then I secretly have another plan and we're counterproductive to what we're trying to accomplish. So getting on the same page helped us.
Working there for sure.
Okay. So what setbacks or mistakes do we make? And I know it's a lot.
Yeah. Setbacks and a lot. So kind of the thing that maybe hindered us to some degree was, I don't know that we were as consistent and regimented and structured as we could have been, right?
Yeah.
But that's how life happens. Yeah. There's seasons where you're more intense, there's seasons where you're not, things has happened a lot along the way.
Yeah. It can be overwhelming because we started out really hard. Like the first 2 years, we were just working multiple jobs, putting all of our money, like triple coupons at the Shoppers, like we were going hard, and it wears you down after a while, like no vacation, no eating out for the kids, no, getting new clothes. So after a while, it kind of wears you out. And then you're like, oh, I really wish I could just go to like Chick-fil-A and get a number one combo with mac and cheese and a Diet Dr. Pepper and maybe a chocolate milkshake with the whipped cream and cherry on top. And not have to worry about if I have enough money to pay for it or not, because I spent everything in my envelope. So we were left consistent after we got out of debt. So, but I think that's natural for all people, because you can only go hard for so long.
Another mistake, I don't know if it's a mistake, but it's just, again, just kind of the rhythm of life. We sold a couple of houses.
We've
moved a handful of times.
A little unstable.
So I think I added up. I think I could be wrong, but I think we've owned, to the including the ones we have now, I think 8 different houses. And so that means we've sold 6 houses. And the challenge with that is really every time you sell a house, You just pay the realtor's fees and property taxes and stuff like that. And so you're essentially losing about $20,000 every time you sell a house. So now that obviously those eight houses over a lifetime. So the first one was what,
2001
is when we bought it. So, but even in the last couple of years,
we made really good money out of the house, though, I must say.
Yeah, most houses. Well, there's only one house that we lost
$40,000.
Lost the money on.
We gave the bank a $40,000 check in Hanford, Maryfield, Virginia.
Yeah.
To get rid of that house when we were on our debt free journey. That hurts.
Yeah, that was back in that housing crisis time and subprime lending and all that kind of stuff. And that's when we kind of hit bottom, and that's a mess.
Learn from us.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. So that was, so another one that, you know, maybe you want to hear a financial advisor say, but just being transparent here is one of the things we've done along the way is we've cashed out retirement accounts a handful of times.
Sometimes I guess what the other one wanted.
Yeah. So it was, there's seasons where the debt weighed more than others. Right. And so we wanted to get houses kind of paid for, like, especially I think
before with Jack Anderson.
When we lost, so and that's the other setback here is that, you know, we're in Nebraska, contract changes were made basically, and I was kind of let go based upon some changes that were taking place. And so I wanted our house paid for. That way I knew our family was okay. I'd rather have the money, you know, in a house per se, but structure, shelter, rather than an investment account that will help us long term the moment. So, yeah, but every time you do that, obviously you're paying taxes and penalties and stuff. So it feels good in the moment because you're like, oh, I got this payout. But then tax time comes around.
Yeah.
Too happy about that decision. So I think that set us back. We would definitely have more in retirement if we hadn't done that. And all that money and taxes and penalties, that doesn't pay off very well. So that definitely set us back. What other things do you think maybe set us back?
I think we ended up chasing a lot more things. Like once we got out of debt, then I think I kind of started chasing more of a career. And so that had impacts on our kids and on you. And so I actually took orders overseas and I realized it was a mistake. So that kind of, at the time, our oldest was in college and our second oldest was already going to college. And so that kind of, she ended up, our second oldest, ended up having to have surgery while she's in college. And that was a forcing mechanism for us to realize, like, hey, our family is more important than the money and chasing dreams. And so we ended up selling our house in Nebraska and buying another house in Florida. And so that was a financial setback because we went from having a paper house to purchasing another house. And the house was a more expensive house. So I think me being selfish kind of made us, it expedited a financial mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say you're selfish time, but yeah, that happens. Right. So, and this is something I think I've learned. I'm trying to, and impede it onto clients now is the clearer you can be on what you actually want in life.
Yeah.
One, the easier life is because of the path is clear.
Yeah.
Right. And it helps with money too. And so the more, you know, it's life, it kind of goes like this, but the clearer you can be on, here's where you are, here's where you want to go, you know the path to get there, it's a lot easier. But the reality is, like people, a lot of people don't know what they want.
No,
you know, you're kind of, you should forget. How many people will tell you, I want to figure out what you want my big job to be? What do I want to do when I grow up? And they're in their 50s, right? They're just still figuring it out.
Trying to chase the American dream and listening to everybody else tell you what you should do instead of you figuring out what you really want to do and what your calling is and then actually going after it.
So let me ask this. So do you think we could have done things? It essentially took us 14 years to become millionaires. From the time we got out of debt in 2010, October 2010 till March of 2024 took us about 14 years to become millionaires. Do you think we could have did it faster?
Yeah, I think so. But we would sacrifice other things. So I think if I had gone back to work instead of staying home with our kids and just doing the part-time stuff, I think I would have had a larger income, so we could have done it faster. I think if we had figured out what we really like, what God's calling on our life was sooner, we wouldn't have made so many moves or so many mistakes in buying property and selling property or just doing other stupid stuff with money. We felt like it. Reason?
I think we could have, but like with, I think we get in our kids like a great foundation by you staying home and homeschooling and stuff like that. So, you know, so don't make money the main thing, but don't make it the last thing either. Right? It's a balance between all this stuff. And so it's just a matter of kind of having a good plan and working it over time. But yeah, I think the weaving in and out of stuff kind of set us back a little bit. We could do it a little bit faster, but and the same time, like we have memories, we have opportunity, like, you know, we have a lot of good things as well, non-financial things that I wouldn't trade for any stretch. So do you think it can be done by other people? Do you think other people can become millionaires?
Yeah, I do. I think other people can do this. Actually, I know other people can do this because we've had friends been friends with us for 20 plus years. And we kind of gave them, like sat down and talked about what we were doing and kind of showed them the plan. And then kind of, you know, if they had questions, they'd ask us questions. It was kind of like accountability partners for a while. And now that I'm pretty sure they're millionaires now. They're a little bit more private, but I definitely think, and they were just like us, his wife didn't really work and he was in the military or something like that. So I definitely think people can do it. It's just, you have to be willing to sacrifice and it has to be like something that's important to you. So for us, it was important because we saw how like going into debt affected our kids and like him having to go back and work like 2+ hours away from where the kids were. And like at one point us staying in Florida and him living in Virginia. So we kind of wanted our kids to be able to have an option when they got older to do what they wanted to do and not lose their life just for money. So, and they, for the most part, none of them are in debt. And for the most part, they might not make the most money, but they're happy and they feel like they're doing what God called them to do.
Yeah, I've heard Dave Ramsey say many, many times that money is more behavioral than it is math, right? Building wealth is 80% behavior, 20% math. Like you have to know some math stuff, but most of it's behavior. It's just making good, sound, wise decisions. And it's simple. Live on less than you make, have a budget, have a plan, get out of debt if you're in debt, avoid debt if you're out in debt, have an emergency fund, save and invest and give. Like it's, and time will really take care of the rest.
And it gets easier too. The more you do it, the more you train yourself to do it, it gets easier. So then like if you used to be really extravagant with what you buy, like you actually take time more like to think about it and be like, do I really want that? Is that really worth it to me? You know, it changes your mindset on things. Okay. So I don't know if this is our last question, but what would be the advice to the 23-year-old version of us or you?
Yeah. 23-year-old Mike.
So 23-year-old Mike. Okay. At the other end of this video camera. Go.
So this is something we talk about a lot because we have 23-year-old kids, right? So we kind of do this. So
she's awesome.
our advice, you know, is to them and to the 23-year-old me and to our kids and really anyone is, you know, so you have to realize that money comes from work. So that's where money comes from. Money comes only two places. One, somebody gives it to you, you know, either by willingly or you take it from them. That's called stealing, right? Or you go earn it, right? So providing value in the marketplace, you get rewarded with an income. So that's where it comes from. So you have to realize that hard work is where money comes from, right? And so that's where you get your income. And the better, more value you provide the marketplace, the more income you'll get. Everybody starts, you know, minimum wage for the most part. We both did, right?
$25 an hour.
Yeah. I mean, everybody starts there. And so it's not a shame of where you start. It's just a matter of where you finish, right? So you start somewhere. So work hard, raise your income. I'd say keep your expenses low.
In
general, right? Don't live beyond your means. You know, have a wedge. We talk about that from a financial planning perspective. Have a wedge of income that you can then save and invest. So again, just have margin in your life, though. You know, don't be on the edge all the time with money or time or relationships or stress or anything. Have margin in your life. You know, and then have savings, invest over time, and just continue to grow as a person, really. You know, professional development, personal development, things like that.
Yeah. The one thing we told our son, because he's in the Air Force now, is that TSP, so that force savings account, start doing it now. Like you're young, you're 20 years old. Start putting money into it now, even if it's only $100 a month, because it adds up. Because if you start later, you're not going to have as much compound interest or the compound effect as you would, you know, as a 40-something-year-old, I'm not going to be able to save as much as my 20-year-old son as he actively every month puts that money away.
Yeah.
So I'm saying make sure that even if you don't make a ton of money, put some of it away so that you have something for when you retire, because you can't bank on a company's pension, because the company could go bankrupt and the pension's gone, and you can't bank on Social Security always being around, or a large amount. Something might happen and it's not there, where you don't get as much because you got to save what early on, and so you can't put as much money into the system.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. What you said was do something consistently. I think that's the key, really, just building good financial habits, right? To just become an everyday rhythm of life, right? You don't have to go to extreme here, extreme there, just good foundational habits, systematically do stuff, and the compounding effect will kind of kick in.
It makes your life easier. And you get more peace, because then you're not stressing about debt collectors calling you or having to pay your rent late because you don't have enough money. So even if you're not as comfortable, at least you have peace. So, and then over time, you get more comfortable.
Well, thanks for doing this with me. This is beautiful.
No problem. Thanks for not being ashamed to put me on your channel.
Not ashamed at all. Glad you're here. Hopefully you guys have gotten something out of this. Again, the whole intent here is not to brag or boast or whatever. It's just really to just kind of share our story of how we did it. Hopefully encourage you that you can also build wealth, you know, put yourself in a position to live the life that you want, and money not be a struggle with that, and maybe to become millionaires in the future. Because I think you can do it. I mean, if we can do it,
anybody can do it.
Anybody can do it, really. It's nothing special. It's just a matter of having good habits, working a plan, being consistent over time. So thanks for watching this episode of The True Wealth Show. And until next time.
Yeah, great. Okay, thanks again to my wife for joining us on this episode. Hope the information was helpful, encouraging, and beneficial to you. I'm very thankful to the Lord for everything that He's done in our lives, for the help He's provided, the abilities, the blessings, the teachings, the mind, the skills that we have. If it was not for Him, we wouldn't have any of these things. Obviously, anything can happen for us, but by the grace of God, to this point, we've been able to build a solid financial future. And I'm really excited about what the next stages of life are for us. One of my personal goals that I think I might have shared is the idea of giving over $1 million away to churches, ministries, and missionaries over the next 30 years. And from what I heard, that stage of wealth building, that stage of wealth is actually more fun. So your micro action for the week: make a commitment to follow a plan that will build wealth. It can be my plan, the path of financial success. It can be Dave Ramsey's plan. It can be somebody else's plan. I don't care what it is, but go find people who have gotten to where you're trying to go and do what they did. That's the key. The key is taking action. Knowledge alone, information alone, will not move the needle. You have to actually do this stuff. And so today we talked about what a millionaire is. We talked about our path of becoming one. And I hope this helps you on your financial journey. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave them below. Additionally, you can send an email to mike@truewealth.show, mike@truewealth.show. And until next time, I hope you have a great day. Thanks again for taking the time to watch or listen this week's episode of The True Wealth Financial Show. I encourage you to like, share, subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Additionally, you can go to www.truewealth.show for more information and resources. One final note as we wrap up today's show. I hope the information that you were provided was helpful and valuable, but I want to remind you that it's really for educational purposes only. Prior to making any decisions or taking any actions, I would strongly encourage you to talk to your legal, tax, estate, or financial advisor who's familiar with the circumstances of your situation. Until next time, I hope you have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are for general information and educational purposes. Mike Potter is an investment advisor representative of True Wealth Financial Group, a Florida registered investment advisor. You should consult a financial advisor familiar with the specific circumstances of your financial situation before making decisions. Nothing in this show constitutes a sale or solicitation of a specific securities. Any mentioned rates of return are historical or hypothetical in nature and are used for illustrative purposes and are not a guarantee of future returns. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.